Sing out song number 43. What a mighty God we serve, reigning now above on his throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. And I was thinking tonight, sometimes it's good for us to take a look at who God is and what he created. So I'd like for us to go to a verse this evening, Genesis 2 and 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's such a small, simple verse for what all God did when he did that. Using such unimportant material to be able to create man. And yet I think about what a complex act was done then. When you look at the human body, some people can just say, well, no, God didn't create it. It just came about to be. But I tell you, when you can realize God did it, and then you start looking at what God did when he created man, and he didn't have to put thought into it. He didn't have to come back like we do when we invent something new, and we find out, well, this part's really good, but this part is not. I'll need to make a change. God didn't have to come back a few weeks later and say, I missed a few components that would really help man out. He was perfect from the beginning. I thought about just so many. I mean, you could look at the eye. If you just looked at the eye itself, God created it. And what all it's able to do. Whenever I went to get my glasses changed, sometimes they will go into a more in-depth check of your eye and give you a picture of your eye and the blood vessels back behind it. And you will see the picture of the nerve that goes up to your brain from your eye. And here your eye is taking a picture all the time. Say we're going down the road, monitoring things all the time, and we don't even think about it. Yeah. Sending signals to your brain of the things that it sees and the responses that need to be given. So many things that we take for granted. Think of the blood flowing through our body. And I've heard before, okay, if you get a snake bite on your hand, you can put a tourniquet around this, stop the flow of blood, but you only have a few minutes because it starts dying real soon. Your hand does, your arm. Stopping the flow of blood and things will start closing off soon. And God put, you look just in your hand and you see the tiniest little blood vessels because God realized this much is needed for the blood to flow. Then we hear as we start getting older people, now we hear about congestive heart failure. That heart is slowing down. It's no longer able to pump so well to the feet, to the hands and all. And they'll start swelling, blood not getting to them. You think of just the heart itself, just a piece of meat, a muscle that God jump-started. And we have motors that will last several years and then have to be replaced. God made this heart to start pumping and continue on for years. Sometimes people live for 100 years with a heart muscle that God jump-started at birth, and it pumped all that time. So as I was looking at all that, and I think about the mind that God gave us, the ability to process information that comes to us and do something with it. Though that's a good thing. I was thinking of some instances about that, just things that we take for granted. If you're driving home this evening and you're coming up on you got a green light, you're going 45 miles an hour and you're getting real close. We've all had it happen to us. And then the light turns yellow and then it turns red. Without us even thinking about it, there's a process going on from us seeing the green light, the yellow light, sending the signal to your brain, slow down faster. We take that for granted. There's also reactions that we have from those things. I thought about one that I had back when I was a boy, because we take that information that we get and we process it and we have a reaction from it. Mom and Dad had bought a school bus. And they were fixing it up. So I'd gone up a ladder on top of the school bus. We were working up there. And I looked down and I was processing some information. Do I go back down the ladder or do I jump? And I looked at it and it was a long ways off the top of a school bus. But I decided, you know what? I can do it. Now, when you jump from that distance, I'd heard, don't ever let your legs be stiff. Don't hit the ground with stiff legs. You're really in trouble there. So keep them limber. And see, all these things are my God-given ability to process information and make decisions from it. That's how our children get in so much trouble, is they process information and they don't have enough experience of what to do with it. I didn't. So I look at it and I size it up and I say I can do it. Leave my legs limber to where when I hit the ground, I fold up. And that's what I did. When I hit the ground, I folded up and my knee came up and caught me right under the chin. If I'd have had my tongue sticking out, I'd have chopped it off. It'd have been gone. And I thought about that. We're constantly going through life processing information that's coming to us, and we do something with it. Well, what I want to talk to you tonight about is, if God had just stopped there and given us the ability to process information but not be able to do anything with it in the future, we would be in a sad shape. God gave us something else that he saw at the beginning. You're going to need this as you process information. It's called a memory. Because you know what? I have never jumped off a bus again. Because from that memory, I always know, don't do that again. Don't go there anymore. And we have that happen throughout our life. Well, what would it be if God had not given us that one component of a memory? Yes. I was thinking, you know, we have just a few more days before the children start back to school. With no memory, would they go back to school? Be no need to. They wouldn't remember yesterday's lesson anyhow. And they wouldn't have to worry about it because mom and dad wouldn't remember how to get back to school. Without a memory, we take so much for granted. Being able to have that God-given ability of one time seeing something, hearing something, and being able to use it out in the future because of a memory. For a newborn child, and as they start getting a little older and the mother's working with it, say this, say mama, you know, say this, and it's back and forth. So they say it one time. You know, with no memory, every morning they get up, it'd be all over again, having to start it all over. There are things that from a memory, I remember that 38 years ago, Cheryl and I got married. Without a memory, there'd be no weddings, because I wouldn't remember her the next day of who she was. We take so much for granted of a memory and what it would do for us. I work at an office building. I've been there for 25 years. What would it be to have no memory? To be able to, now I can have experiences happen there. Something happens and I process information, and maybe I don't do it right this time, but years on down the road I have that same thing come up again. And I can remember that time, that didn't work. That way didn't work. Let's try something else this way. It works in every one of our lives. A memory is so important. And it's important to God because he gave us some commandments of what to do with that memory. And I want to look at one of them. It's in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and the first verse. Yes. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Yes. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let me know there's a time to use that memory, that God-given memory. Remember God. Now in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I was thinking about that, remember now. Thinking of that verse that says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. To the young people, remember now thy creator. But I also thought about that one. Should someone go past the time of their youth and they haven't remembered God, it still applies to us all. What, at whatever time in our life it is, remember now thy creator. And I was looking at a song that we had. When I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. Memory brings things to our mind that God did for me yesterday, the day before, years ago, I remember. And I was thinking of that book that Sister Margaret Eck put out, Lest We Forget. And it was, she was using her memory to write down the things that had happened in their life so that the children, the grandchildren out in the future, about the time I get a problem that it seemed like this one just might be too big, I could look back and see her experiences. God helped me in this one. It would be good for us to use our memory in the right way, because we have the ability to process information. And you know what? We have the ability to use our memory as we process information. The things that we retain and the things that we don't retain, those are very important for us. Think about the memory verses that are said by the children that I used to say when I was a child. And it seemed like it was, you know, sometimes we can almost think, if we're not careful, well, this is a time when everybody gets to see how well the parents are training the children. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That the children, that each of us, from a child up to now, that we start putting those into memory. Because you know what? As we do that, there will be times when something comes up and that verse will come back to me. Yes. It's very important what I do with my memory. And I was thinking about a verse that Jesus talked to his disciples in Mark, the 8th chapter, and in the 17th verse. And when Jesus knew it, they reasoned in the 16th verse, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, nor yet understand, have your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? Don't you remember, just a little ways back, you think I'm concerned about what we're going to do for food here. Don't you remember just a little while back where I took care of that situation? That's no problem to me at all. And for me today, to be able to look back at times that God answered prayer for me, maybe in a different situation, but he's well able to be able to take care of it out in the future. Do we not remember those things out in the past that he has done for us? I was thinking over in Deuteronomy, you know how many times God worked with the children of Israel, trying to get them to, if they could just have remembered what he had done for them. In Deuteronomy, in the 5th chapter, in the 15th verse, if they could have remembered what he had just done for them, it would have made so much different for them. But here in the 5th and the 15th verse, he's wanting them to remember something else. It says, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Remember where you were. Remember that in Egypt you had so much trouble, and how I brought you out, and how much it could have done for them. And I was thinking of another place where memory was would have been real important. This man did remember something. You remember it said a certain king took account of his servants, and he saw one that owed him so much money. And he called him in, and he said, it's time to pay up. And the servant told him, said, I don't have it, but if you'll have mercy on me, I'll pay it. And he would not, but he says, sell him, sell his children, sell everything he has. And he begged him for mercy, and he had mercy. You know, sometimes we're responsible for the things that we remember and the things that we forget. In just a little bit, he was so happy when he was in the presence of the king and he was forgiven. But in such a short time, he forgot that. He no longer had that in the forefront of his mind. But what he remembered, as soon as he saw his friend that owed him a little bit of money, the thing that came to the forefront of his memory was, you owe me. To the point that he forgot what he had just been forgiven. And you know, if we're not careful through life, that can happen to us, where we get selective memory. I forget some things that would make a change in my life if I would remember them, even in how I deal with others. I was thinking of another verse, Jonah. When he was in the belly of the whale, he was crying out and making some promises to God, if you'll just get me out of here. So happy when he was on dry land again, and so quickly he forgot that. But he did remember something. that when he went and walked around Nineveh, and he told them, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, he remembered what God had said to them. But there was something else that he forgot, was the mercy that the Lord had had on him. Because so easily he could have said, this is what God's going to do to you, but I want to tell you where I've just come from. It's possible that he will have mercy. If we would remember where we just came from, all of us would not be saved today if the Lord had not had mercy on us. And that we would be able to reach out to others and be able to have the mercy to them as we remember where God brought us from. There's another thing that we need to remember. For in forgiveness, it says in Matthew 18 and 35, so likewise shall your heavenly Father do to you if ye from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother his trespasses. So as I remember the wrong that somebody did to me, if I would be able to compare it to what God did in forgiving me, it would make it a whole lot easier for me. There's also another place that there was a little short message to us about remembering. It was just a three-word message, and it's in Luke 17 and 32. Remember Lot's wife. Yes. Just a short, maybe almost one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but it carries so much weight to it because then you move back to the story and what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. Her heart was attached to those things behind her. And even though in her body she was moving away from it, she looked back. And also it tells us about God's commandments to us. No matter how we look at them and we say, I don't see how that makes any difference of whether I look back or whether I don't. No doubt she was hearing the noise of what was happening as it was raining down fire and brimstone. Yes. And her heart was there of the things she was leaving, family members that she was leaving, and the pull was too great for her. She did not, to where she did not obey God's command. And here it tells us, remember some things. Yes. Remember Lot's wife and choices that she made. We're living in a time right now where we need to remember that story because there are some things that we don't want to look back. We don't want to go back. I think of that song that says, I'll never go back. And you know, we may not go back to some things in our body, but if we're not careful, the devil will come along and try to make that look attractive in some areas, for whatever area it may be. Remember Lot's wife. And where he had told her, escape for your life, don't look behind you. And it's going to be important for us today to remember Lot's wife and don't look behind us. Those things that have a draw to them, to the young people, those things that will have a draw out in the future, don't look back. I was thinking of the song, children's song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. So we talked a little bit ago about where it said in Deuteronomy to the children of Israel, you remember that you were slaves one day. 80 years before Moses comes back to deliver them, those folks were longing for freedom. If we could just be free from this. And you remember how they said, okay, if they have this much time then we're on their hands, then we're going to double their load. They're going to now have to go out and get their own straw. They're going to have to work a lot harder. And they were longing for deliverance. And you remember reading where when they crossed the Red Sea, there's another chapter was added on right there of a song. It was called A Song of Deliverance. Thanksgiving to God for what he had done. But I look at that, and then I go on down to in Numbers. I'd like to look at a verse in Numbers 14, because this is the same people here. A little while had passed now. Numbers 14 and 2. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice. Remember, now they're at the land where God has told them, I'm going to give it to you for your inheritance. And it came back with a report, there are some giants there, and we are like grasshoppers to them. All the congregation lifted up their voice, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And it went on down to a place where They said in the fourth and the fifth, said, make a captain and let us return to Egypt. What's back in Egypt that they would want to return? I remember a place where they said, we remember cucumbers. Yes. Now that's quite a memory. That's quite a long, and I just wish I was back there. They could whip me and just give me a good cucumber. They forgot some things, and they remembered some things. They failed to remember what had been put on them back there. But what they said was, we remember the onions, the leeks, the garlics, the things that we don't have now, we remember those back there. Would to God we had died in Egypt. Let us make a captain and take us right back there again. They had forgotten some things. And God says in 14 and 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? How long before they'll start remembering the things that I've done for them in the past and my ability to take care of them in the future? And as they crossed the Jordan River, and they were commanded to pick up some stones and put on the other side. And it said the purpose for that is, on down the road when your children just see the stones, all they see is some stones piled up, and they ask you, what's the reason for this pile of rocks right here, these stones? And they said, that's when you remind them of how the Lord caused Jordan River to back up, and we were able to cross on dry land. We need to be able to have some places, some stones in our life of memory that we remember what God has done for us. Should I fail to remember throughout this life, memory does not end when I draw my last breath. I was thinking of the rich man. If he could have just lost memory whenever he drew his last breath. But do you remember whenever he was calling up for a drink of water? And the answer that came to him was, son, remember. So it tells me there's memory in hell. Yes. Son, remember that when you were there, you had good things and Lazarus had evil. But now it's switched around. Singing of that song that said, if then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, you will remember that you've chosen to be there. Yes. Thinking about that and how important it is for me to do my remembering here. Yes. And let it make a change in my life. I'd like to change because there's another side of the coin. I like to think about forgetting. Sometimes we say, well, as I'm getting old, I'm getting forgetful. And that's a bad thing. You know what? If we're saved today, there are some things that God has forgotten. I'd like to take a look at it. In Hebrews 10, and the 16th verse. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The God of heaven that created everything and has a memory like no one else says that this one thing he'll forget. He will remember no more our sins and iniquities. And in Psalms 103, it talks about as far as the east is from the west. There's no measurement of it. That's how far he removed our transgressions from us. So I thought about this. If God is willing to forget our past, sometimes it's important for us to forget it. And I was thinking about Paul. If Paul throughout his life had continued to review his past and bring it up before himself and let it be a disadvantage to him, it would have caused him a lot of problems. But he came to a place in Philippians, in the third chapter, in the 13th verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Yes. Just like God forgot the sins, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are things that I need to use out of my past so that I remember it for the things that didn't work, that I not do it anymore. But I need to also forget it if it's something that just continually comes up to trouble me, that I'm not able to live above it. Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark. The actions and the attitudes of my past that I wish had never happened. You know what? I can have those things come up to me daily. Why in the world did you do such a thing? I need them to be a reminder to me so I don't ever go back there again. But at the same time, I can be so thankful that God has a short memory on the things that I come to Him and say, I am sorry, Lord, for that. And He puts them as far as the east is from the west. I am so thankful for that. So how is it that in my memory, I can't remember sometimes where I left my keys, but I can remember well what somebody did to me 5 years ago? I can't remember, I couldn't tell you yesterday hardly what I ate for a meal, but I can remember when somebody does me wrong. I can't remember last Sunday's message, maybe. Sometimes I can't remember this morning by the time I get home. You ever had that happen? Sometime you go to a service and you go home, maybe someone was sick at the house, and you get to the house and they say, tell me, what was the message about? And you say, I mean, it was there. I was there. I heard it. It was a good message. I can't tell you what it was. But I can remember that somebody walked by me and didn't speak to me as they were going out. How is it that all that works? It's selective memory, and the devil plays a big part in it. And if I can remember those things, and when that starts coming to me, there's something I can do about it. There are some things that I need to remember. There are some things that I need to forget. I'd like to close with a little poem that I've heard before, because it'll do us well to forget some things. This says, if you've not been treated right, just forget it. Don't get ready for a fight, but forget it. Life's too short to hold a grudge. Twill your happiness be smudge. And anyway, you're not the judge, so forget it. If you've been misunderstood, just forget it. Say, I did the best I could, and then forget it. If you can't have your own way, don't be small enough to say, well, I guess I just won't play, but forget it. If someone slanders you, just forget it. You know, I think about this right here. Someone slanders you, just forget it. How much Joseph's life would have been ruined had he not forgotten it? You know what? He was able to move from one event to another. It seemed like he didn't have a good thing happen in his life for 13 years. It was one after another. If he was started doing well at Potiphar's house, he went to prison. If it looked like he was going to get out because he could tell a good dream, they forgot it. So it moved through there so many times, he would have never been ready for the place that God had for him if he had not forgotten some things. If somebody slanders you, just forget it. Say, I'm glad it isn't true, and then forget it. Even if you lose a friend and the breach you cannot mend, it'll sure pay you in the end to just forget it. There are some things in life that God wants us to remember. There are some things in life that it'll pay us well to forget. God help us to know the difference. I desire your prayers.